It's Friday!
Yay!
Good job, Abby. Well, you can say that again.
Yay!
Well, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
No, thank you very much, Elvis and Abby. Is it Pelkey? Is it Pelkey, Abby?
Yeah, it's Pelkey.
Pelkey. Abby Pelkey is in today for Danielle Mason, and in Monday as well. Monday we'll be at the Detroit Economic Club, and then we will make our way up to Midland to be Tuesday afternoon from noon till 2 from the Dow Classic, and we're looking forward to that very much. We're busy, busy, busy. Yesterday we had the Mitch album time period, and I happily give it back to him. I don't know why, but 2 to 4 was more challenging than noon to 2, and it's because it's what you're used to, I think, Mike Parsons.
Right.
And Dave Rieger did a fine job producing, but it was crazy out there. It's worse than the St. Patrick's Day craziness where we have far too many guests and far too many interviews. But all of this was done in 85-plus degree weather, and I don't do well in 85-degree-plus.
Yeah, and I saw a lot of pictures of people wearing suit coats and everything in the peak of the afternoon heat.
Yeah, crazy. I had mine off, but it was a long day because it started earlier. I have to get there about 3, you know, and then I'm there till after 10 because I'm emceeing the event. So it is fun, but it's also grueling, and it's also great to join Tom and Vicky Chalani and their kids and the Chalani Family Foundation and Dario Bergamo. I've been there from the beginning. This was our 12th year and out at Freedom Hill. It's just great to see all these men, mostly men, some women, mostly men, having fun. They don't have a place to go and have fun like this and interact and smoke cigars and eat a great dinner, Chef Bobby. And it was a great event. Excuse me. And we've gone over $14 million as of last night.
Wow.
That's a lot of money for charities. That was the 12th annual Cars and Cigars Big Smoke. It went very well, and we had a lot of fun. Then, of course, the boys were there for Sports Wrap immediately following us, but they were on the show with me as well, stopping by Lomas and Anthony Bellino. And it was just, people are happy to see us. People are happy to see each other. There's networking going on. There's just a lot of fun.
Yeah, and people love it. I mean, I was getting a lot of texts and emails asking if you were going to be out there. So I just sent them all your way.
Well, thank you for that, because it was a big, big crowd. All right, so the latest we have is that the hiring figures, that's not on the front page here, but it is still in the newspaper, so I don't know how.
Yeah, it broke a little bit late. It broke about 9 a.m. this morning.
Well, how's it rise in jobless claims tops expectations? I don't know what that means.
that was printed before 9 a.m. I guess
today's paper, and all I know is that the hiring blew past expectations with 172,000 jobs added in May. Great job news. It should be big news everywhere, but I doubt it will be anywhere but Fox. Which is just unfortunate, the schism that we have. Is that a word, schism?
Yes, it is.
That there's the people who get their news from CNN and the people who get their news from Fox, and they're completely different stories all the time.
And, Paul, I think I heard that this was double what people were expecting it to be. So
well, that's huge. That's incredible. Now, then there's a big story, too, that we've seen, that the president is throwing $700 million in support of the coal industry, which is blasphemous talk to many people who say that having cut back on coal has helped improve our air, the quality of the air that we breathe. I'm not taking a stand on it one way or another. I will take a stand on this, though. That Plattner guy, I don't know what his first name is, and I don't care. He is a slug that should not be in any public office. But here's what I'm going to say, and I'll mention this to our first guest, Nolan Finley. This is how it hit me. that this Plattner guy is the Democrat Party's new Ted Kennedy. Let me explain. Ted Kennedy abused women horribly. Come after me. Sue me if you want. I got proof. Ted Kennedy abused women horribly with totally unacceptable behavior. We didn't accept his behavior, but the Democrats did. You know why? Because he voted the right way on abortion and other issues that were really important to him. So he taught us the lesson that even if you're a bad guy and do bad things and you vote the right way, you're our guy. And that's what they're doing with Plattner, because they feel, they smell blood in the water, and they feel they can beat the Republican and finally get a Democrat in that position. So it doesn't matter that he is the slob, slug, moronic, bad person that he is. He's their great person if he can win for them. That's disgusting. You should be embarrassed if you're in any way, shape, or form supporting Plattner or the Democrat Party for supporting him. Now on to happy news, unless you wanted to say something. You were leaning into the microphone.
Yeah, I was just going to say, it's interesting there's such a push behind this Plattner guy, because he's going up against Susan Collins, who's one of the more moderate Republicans.
Right. She's
Yeah, so it's not like she wouldn't be on the top of your list. You'd think that they'd want to unseat.
Well, they just want the seat.
Right.
And that's, they're blinded by their ambition. It is embarrassing. And I'll ask any of my Democrat friends, what the hell are you doing? What are you thinking? Anyway, as I started to say, with our relentless positive radio, and nobody can fault me on this except those of you who are looking out for our good health and nutrition, it's National Donut Day!
All right. Yay!
You know, there was a time that a donut shop would deliver at least a dozen donuts just so we would mention it in the morning. Maybe it happened in the morning, and by noon they think we don't need donuts. We don't need your stinking donuts.
Anytime's a good time for donuts. And then 3 hours later, Paul, the donut box would be littered with like quarter pieces, because
people go to the box and say, I can't eat a whole donut, so I'll eat a quarter. And then the next quarter disappears,
right,
because they came back for the other quarter, and then the half, and then the whole donut. Just be honest and take the whole doggone donut the first time.
If I own my own donut shop, I would just sell them all in quarters. Save people the trouble.
What a great idea.
Yeah.
The quarter donut shop.
Instead of the corner, that's very good.
The quarter donut shop.
If you want to invest, just reach out.
Here's another one. If you're looking for someone really good to be on your board of directors, I'm right here. I could bring so much to the table as a member of your board of directors. And I got the context, the information, the inside story. That's just after I saw the story of what people are making on boards of directors now.
Yeah, nice side gig.
Really nice side gig. All right, we've got lots to talk about today. And we're going to do that with our first guest, Nolan Finley, editorial page editor for the Detroit News, coming up next here in Focus on Friday with Paul W. Smith. If you're looking to cut energy costs, and why wouldn't you be? If you're looking to cut energy costs and reinvest in what matters most, here's some good news. DTE's Energy Efficiency Program for Business helps organizations save energy and lower operating expenses, including K-12 schools. Right now, schools can achieve a 15% bonus rebate on qualifying electric upgrades like lighting and HVAC, on top of the standard rebate. But you better act fast, because funds are limited and available on a first-come, first-served basis through September 30th, 2026. But again, funds are limited, available on a first-come, first-served basis. This is DTE's Energy Efficiency Program for Business, including K-12 schools. Call them at 855-748-2525 to get started today. That's an easy number to remember and an important one. 855-748-2525. Call them now and get started today. We continue in Focus on WJR. Nolan Finley, editorial page editor of the Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Nolan and his friend Stephen Henderson, along with Lynn Gallidner. There's a number of things to speak with Nolan about. I see that Mike has here Senate votes to fund immigration enforcement. Trump says Bill Pulte's new role is temporary. We'll investigate rigged election. Here's the one I want to talk about first, though. Is the president about to throw Israel under the bus? That's what you wrote about, Nolan, and it caught my attention.
Yeah, I did. This week, after the phone call the president made to the Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, in which, you know, he used all sorts of vulgar language and threats, and you sense a growing frustration by the president that he can't wrap up this war. And it's doing considerable damage both to his approval and his effectiveness and to his party's prospects in the midterm election. And he knows if Republicans lose the House in the midterm, he's going to get impeached for a third time, or is it the fifth time? I can't remember.
Don't know.
But he's going to be impeached one more time, you know, for the third time in his tenure as president. And I feel that frustration is, you know, is going to lead him to act in his own self-interest by laying it all on Israel and breaking with the prime minister, who's got his own problems, but, you know, breaking with Israel and leaving that relationship in doubt, which I'm afraid Israel's enemies will be quick to exploit.
You know, here's another thing that no one's brought up. I'll bring it up. This is a phone conversation that clearly is confidential, and yet there is no shortage of quotes from what the president said that's all over the media. That in itself is disturbing.
Well, it's also revelatory. I mean, you haven't had the White House deny it at all. You know, normally if something this damaging came out, they'd be quick to say, no, that's somebody's making that up. So you got to believe they wanted this to leak out, and he wants to send a message that he is distancing himself from Israel. And it's a very dangerous place to be, given the growing anti-Israel sentiment in this country and the growing anti-Semitism. A lot of people are eager to see him sort of turn away from Israel.
Oh, boy.
And its defense.
Here's another thought.
I mean, you've got Senate candidates in Michigan saying we should end all aid to Israel. Mallory McMorrow and Abdul El Salad are both on the record saying we should stop sending money to Israel and selling arms to Israel. Well, you know, Israel's going to have a tough time going on its own if that should happen.
Well, listen, even when this guy gets into good news, like the hiring blew past expectations with 172,000 jobs, about double what they expected in May, he'll not get any credit, and it will be a very short story in the news, if it's in the news. But here's something that came to my mind, Nolan Finley, like your reaction to this. This Plattner guy, he is, in my mind, being around long enough, the Democrats' new Ted Kennedy. Here we had Ted Kennedy abusing women horribly with totally unacceptable behavior. These weren't rumors. These were facts. But he voted their way on primarily abortion and anything else the Democrats were voting on, so he was their guy. Plattner is their guy to try to unseat Susan Collins, their best chance ever to turn a Republican seat Democrat. And so they are once again showing their colors and accepting a complete bastard to take this office just as long as he can beat her.
Yeah, I mean, and it does expose the bankruptcy, the moral bankruptcy of our politics. They know this guy. He's a Nazi misogynist, for goodness sakes. Talks about the benefits of raping women to get them under control. I mean, it's just awful stuff. The same stuff, or not the same, but similar stuff to what they accused Trump of doing and saying, and, you know, vilified Republicans for supporting him. And I mean, we've not seen hardly anything as vile as this guy in a mainstream candidate in America. And they're pumping money into his campaign because he might help them get the Senate. You know, disregard the damage he might do to women and the message it's sending to victims of sexual abuse that they're writing their checks to him. And many of the same women who stood up and condemned Trump and Republicans for supporting him are supporting this guy. I mean, I don't know that we've ever seen a mainstream candidate this bad. And you know, the polls show he's got a chance of defeating one of the Senate's true moderates.
Well, if all the truth came out about Ted Kennedy, it was bad enough. Believe me. I mean,
yeah.
I know for a fact how bad it was. And but I don't need to go into it right now. But my point is, what we have learned is, and it's on both parties now, their party is what matters more so than their constituents.
Absolutely. Over principle.
It's
party over principle.
Party over principle is a perfect way to put it.
Every instance. What these, you know, I don't even know that they consider themselves Americans anymore. They're either Republicans or Democrats, and that's as far as it goes. I don't see hardly any of them acting in the best interest of the country or putting their party's interests secondary to the American people's concerns.
Yeah, you're so right. Well, back to what we were supposed to talk about.
Yeah.
The Senate votes to fund immigration enforcement. Now, the way the headline was that the Republicans wouldn't back down from the 1776, the $1.8 billion. I thought that was a dead deal.
Well, that's, you know, you've got the administration saying, oh, well, we're not going to use that. But you haven't had Trump saying that. And so this is one of the worst pieces of business and the most corrupt pieces of business ever to come out of Congress. And you had, to their credit, a number of Republicans saying, no, we don't, you know, this isn't right. We can't do this. This is going to kill us in the midterms. And yet they didn't, you know, they didn't remove it from the immigration bill as they should have. So I think it's going to come back in November to bite them in the butt, and it'll be their own fault.
Quick note on the president giving 700. You're kind of like from coal country, right?
A little bit. Not quite,
on the edge, more so than what we are here.
Right.
What do you think about the new $700 million, I think it was million, maybe it's, I don't know, blown into the coal industry to revive it? Your thoughts?
Well, I think coal is still an important energy resource. And if we can figure out how to develop out clean coal technology, we're foolish not to do it because it's still an abundant resource. It still can produce a lot of energy at a lower cost than some of the other sources. So, you know, I think it's a smart investment.
And we have a lot of it. And we already know China's building a new coal factory, a coal-powered plant every week or two. Nolan Findlay, editorial page editor for Detroit News, co-author of The Civility Book, A Guide to Building Bridges Across the Political Divide. Have a great weekend, Nolan.
You too, Paul.
Thank you, sir. 1229 WJR.
Where Michigan comes to talk.
I'm telling you, stay with us. You're going to learn a lot of things. You've learned about artificial sweeteners. I've been against those for years and told you so. We were concerned about AI. Now, Anthropic warning AI could soon help build its own successors. If you really think about that, that's a very dangerous thing. Creating better AI without any input from humans, you can make the connection. And I will say, though, my friend Keith Newell, who always sends us nice ideas, he came up with this one. We were talking about and we had David Sarabi on talking about investing in all this, initial public offerings of AI related stuff. And he said, why not ask AI if you should invest in AI?
I saw somebody suggest that you ask AI to teach you how to use AI.
That's another good one. While we're working here, why don't you ask AI if we should invest in AI and see what it says? Because if I did it, I'd knock us off the air. So I
yeah, I'll have an answer for you later on.
Okay, if AI will give one to you, yes. Well, Chris Swanson, Genesee County Sheriff, Democrat gubernatorial candidate, showed he is in the race and wants to be. He participated in the Democrat gubernatorial debate last night on Fox 2, but I think he was all alone because our Secretary of State, Jocelyn Benson, apparently declined the invitation. Chris, welcome back to Focus. Nice to have you here. Were you on the stage alone? I was not in a position to watch.
I was not. I had an empty chair next to me.
The so old empty like chair routine.
That's right. The old empty chair with a microphone on it. Yeah.
Well, I doubt they asked the empty chair questions, but I suspect they asked you plenty. How do you think it went?
It went fabulous. I mean, to think that I had the privilege of having an hour on live TV in front of a live studio audience answering questions about what matters most to the people in the state of Michigan. It was fabulous, and Roop Raj did a great job.
Well, Roop Raj is a gem. He is a gift. We're lucky to have yeah. Roop Raj, that's for sure. But what a gift to you to have a full hour to yourself. You know, a lot of times these debates, they get messy. Oftentimes there's too many people, and so we you know, some people we don't hear from at all, some people we hear too much from. This way, you got a one-hour spot to let people know how you feel and what you would do should you become the next governor.
And I think people resonated. You know, the story of why I was the only one that accepted 88 minutes after I got my email in March. This is where you get to connect with the people. Aside from the 80,000-plus miles and the 1,400 places and all the WJR calls I've made, this is why it's important to be there and show up, and I showed up.
I think Secretary of State Benson said she had a conflict, an educators event in Detroit, so she didn't just not show up. She did say she wasn't going to be able to be there. So let me go through some of the things that talked about. What's your take on data centers in Michigan?
Well, it's a complicated question because of how different communities receive them. And I've said before, my partnership with organized labor and building trades, you know, they don't want to build any project where locals are protesting or have been forced to do things. You take away public comment and you have people making decisions about energy that aren't being transparent. These are all complications. But I would tell you this is when you try to solve one problem, create 10 more, nobody wins. And that's what we're seeing. This is an industry that is very suspect from people. And I work very closely with those that are in the building trades to figure out what is the way to message it. So I've been clear. As my administration, we're going to be transparent. We're not going to take advantage of people who either are paying extra energy rates. There's no escrow for this industry. Should they leave, what are they going to do for the people behind? And ultimately, are we protecting the environment?
What would you? What was your answer when they asked you about the state of education in our great state and the bottom 10?
Well, yeah. Well, you know what I said. You gotta really look at the source of where it comes from. We don't have a broken education system. That would be a disrespect to every educator and support personnel out there. We've got some gaps. And don't try to compare Michigan and Mississippi. That study, if you read deep into it, it was a 10-year study that's not even comparing apples to apples. They're holding fourth graders back to third grade to boost the literacy rates. If you go to the eighth grade and study it, which I did, eighth grade literacy, math, and reading is one of the lowest in the countries. And so let's really look at literacy. We're on the uptick. We've got the science of reading that the teachers are teaching now, going back to the basics. But their letters training, which is LETRS, that needs to be more user-friendly. They only have certain times and dates to do it. The bottom line is we got a great education system. I've been endorsed by a number of MEAs throughout the state, Bay, or County, Wayne Westland, Region 2. I'm an educator myself, 28 years at the University of Michigan, Flint. We're on the right track, but it's not a broken system.
Really, you don't? That's a bold statement, Chris, to say it's not a broken system.
That's right. Anything that we're doing that is so complex as educating 1.4 million kids in Michigan, there's a lot that we have. And that seven-point plan that I say, protect the school aid fund, make sure kids have breakfast and lunch so they're not starving during the time to learn, you know, giving people the ability with didactic skills in middle school, and not everybody's built for college. These are all things that matter, and that's what we're doing.
Got a busy day today? That's kind of a stupid question. You're busy every day, I know.
Indeed.
Where are you headed today?
So this morning I was in Ann Arbor at the IBEW State Conference. I just had three calls that I had to make for podcasts. I'm in Lansing right now to do the Home Builders Association gubernatorial candidate forum. I'm going over to the Thumb to go meet with my friends over in St. Clair County and my dear friend from Local 6000 UAW, Rachel Dickinson. So I'm in it to win it, and nobody's going to outwork Chris Swanson.
No one's going to outwork you, Chris. Good luck to you. What's the website for people to go and maybe donate money and find out more about what you stand for?
Very kind. SwansonForMichigan.com. Thank you so much, everybody. I appreciate you, and thank you, sir.
SwansonForMichigan.com. SwansonForMichigan.com. Chris Swanson, Genesee County Sheriff, Democrat gubernatorial candidate. Thank you, Chris. Best of luck to you.
Thank you, sir. Be safe.
You do the same. Heading toward 1243 with Paul W. J.R. According to the World Meteorological Organization, WMO, El Nino, that periodic warming of sea surface temperatures in the central and eastern Pacific Ocean, has an 80% chance of forming before September, 90% chance of persisting until November, and there's even talk of a super El Nino. We know exactly where to go when we have questions in any way, shape, or form regarding the weather. And that is the great meteorologist Scott Larimore, the general manager of the Weather Channel Radio Network. Scott, it's always a pleasure.
Paul, thanks so much for having me today, and happy Friday to you.
Happy Friday. And June 1st, we started hurricane season. We don't worry about hurricanes here in Michigan, but we have friends and family in Florida and other hurricane areas. We worry about tornadoes, but how much do we have to worry about El Nino and the possibility of a super El Nino, and what exactly is that?
Well, a super El Nino means that the ocean temperatures of the Pacific, on average, are more than 2 degrees above what they should be. And now that doesn't sound like a whole lot, but when you think about the Pacific Ocean being the deepest ocean on the planet and the biggest ocean on the planet, you're really saying a mouthful when you're saying the whole equatorial Pacific and the eastern Pacific is above average. That is a lot of acreage, a lot of territory that you're talking about being a warm sea surface temperature. As you can imagine, that changes the weather patterns around the Pacific. And the takeaway is, after a complex dance, it makes a portion of the jet stream really fire up. And that jet stream that comes across the country from the Pacific kind of hugs the Gulf Coast and pushes all the way out across the U.S. into the Atlantic Ocean. And what that does, in turn, is just give us too much upper-level wind for tropical systems to form in the Atlantic. And so El Nino, strong El Ninos, in this case, a very strong El Nino, has a tendency overall to make for less tropical activity in the Atlantic as we head through summer and towards peak season, which is actually September.
Well, that's a surprise. That's not what I expected you to say. Stronger El Ninos tend to flip the usual hurricane season equation, suppressing storms in the Caribbean.
Correct.
And tropical Atlantic. But it does amplify.
Correct.
Them then in the central and eastern Pacific?
So the typhoons can go fast and furious in the Pacific, and they're basically the Pacific version of hurricanes. We just call them typhoons. But yes, there already is some activity off the west coast of Mexico as we speak. It could be their first East Pac named storm. A tropical storm, Amanda, is forming on the west coast of Mexico as we speak into the weekend. It's not expected to affect Hawaii. Now, a little closer to home, here in the beautiful state of Michigan, there is an impact, believe it or not, with El Nino. It's not maybe what you would think about, but if you can imagine the United States, if you imagine these fast jet stream level winds way off to our south over the summer, down over the Gulf of Mexico and going out to the Atlantic, that kind of leaves us in a void area here across the Great Lakes, where we have a tendency during strong El Ninos for it to be warm and dry. And as you might remember, last summer we had such a problem with wildfires and the Canadian wildfire smoke coming down from Canada.
Right.
That is, believe it or not, one of the concerns with a very strong El Nino here in Michigan and really across southeastern Canada and across even New England and the U.S.-Canadian border is wildfires and wildfire smoke. If it gets dry and real warm, that's when obviously we have a higher likelihood for poor air quality, for wildfire smoke, if there are wildfires.
So here's a quote from the UN Secretary General. The world must treat it as the urgent climate warning it is. El Nino conditions will pour fuel on the fire of a warming world. The Secretary General also urged a shift away from fossil fuels toward renewable energy. He must not be very happy with today's announcement by President Trump that he's going to refuel coal mining and coal usage here in America.
I would agree with you. I would agree with you. He's probably not very happy about that. It is it is miraculous to watch as a scientist, though. We are starting to see the equatorial Pacific starting to come up above average. And if you do a Google search at home of sea surface temperature anomalies, it basically looks at current observed sea surface temperatures and compares them to average, right? Because that's what El Nino is all about, is being above average. You know, and then the opposite of that, which we haven't talked about, is La Nina. That's when the
On my notes, I was going to ask, what about El Nino's sister, La Nina?
Yes, exactly, exactly. So we were kind of neutral, and then now we're going into what is forecast to be a very strong, El Nino event, and we're starting to see it. If you do that Google search with sea surface temperatures over the Pacific, how it compares to normal, you can actually start to see the equator starting to bud in this, red color. It starts to hug the belt of the equator, and then it spreads up to the northern Pacific, and then lastly, it spreads all the way up to the Gulf of Alaska. Now, the Gulf of Alaska right now is still a little bit below average as far as sea surface temperatures are going, but we believe we're at the beginning of this El Nino event. So if you look at that kind of map online, you'll eventually see most of the Pacific is colored either yellow or red, which means it's above average.
Meteorologist Scott Larimore, general manager of the Fine Weather Channel radio network, of which WJR is proudly a part of. What's it look like? A quick summary for the tornado season around Michigan.
So we had quite a start to the year with a terrible killer start, right? And that event that happened a few months back, which was very atypical. That was not normal. If we do end up with a strong El Nino, we might end up with a very dry, warm summer. And we're starting to get some glimpses of that, Paul, late next week. And for mid-June, models are showing some 90s starting to show up in the forecast. And, records this time of year for us are in the low 90s.
Always a pleasure. You always make it possible for us to understand. We appreciate the way you explain things to us. Meteorologist Scott Larimore, general manager of the Weather Channel radio network. Have a great weekend, Scott.
Thank you, Paul. You too. Thanks so much for having us.
Oh, we love having you on, and we love being a part of the Weather Channel radio network, that's for sure. We continue here in Focus with a quick reminder. It's WJR's Tim McGraw VIP experience, your chance to rock when country music legend Tim McGraw brings his Pawn Show guitar tour to Pine Knob Music Theater August 28th. You could win a pair of premium pavilion tickets, transportation courtesy of MetroCards, $100 to buy Buddy's Pizza. To enter, download the free WJR mobile app, find the secret keyword, then text it to 800-859-0957. More information at WJR.com. Hour number two of Focus. Glad we're all together. I didn't say happy birthday. Happy birthday to you if it's your birthday, or happy anniversary comes to mind also. In fact, a couple of friends. a happy anniversary to Bob and Sandy Riney. Bob, of course, runs the Henry Ford Health System, been there all of his life, worked his way up. He's a true American success story. And also, he was just chairman of the Greater Detroit Regional Chamber Policy Conference on Mackinac Island. So Bob and Sandy Riney celebrate their anniversary tomorrow. But since we're not on the air, I thought I'd tell him today. And my friends for many, many, many years in Toledo, the advertising executive, John Federke, John and Mary Federke in Toledo, also celebrating their birthday tomorrow. Maybe they'll be lucky enough to go over and see our friends Labib and Karen Hajar at the Beirut on Monroe Street in Toledo, which I still go to whenever I can, and it's the best. You're on your way to making each and every day count because you know each day is a gift, and we understand. And then there's that QTR that Kim reminds us of. We don't know how much quality time remaining we have, but I do want to thank you for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Don't take it from me. Take it from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters, who once again made WJR the number one radio station. I guess there's so many things to talk about here. The Detroit home values see the fastest rise in the nation. Now, we were low, and we had a long way to go, but at least we're going in the right direction.
Yeah, and I for some reason, it must be in my algorithm, but I come across a lot of real estate listings on my social media feeds.
Really?
I mean, because when I was looking for a house, I like to look through Zillow, and I still like to look through Zillow for fun, so that's probably why. But yeah, like this area is way overpriced, and then this area over here is way under. So it's kind of like weird and all over the place.
Is it generally accurate?
Yeah, it shows what the houses are going for, but like, you know, like Dearborn Heights is more expensive than like Romeo, which is normally Romeo's kind of more affluent and upper crust. So what you normally think, it's kind of been the opposite lately.
That's fascinating. All right. The U.S. economy blew people's minds. I think you said doubled what they were expecting.
Yeah, doubled.
172,000 jobs in May, beating expectations. The House passes Ukraine aid and Russia sanctions as the GOP goes basically against the president on this piece of foreign policy. I don't get this headline you sent me. Republicans reject multiple efforts to kill Trump's $1.8 billion anti-weaponization fund. I swear I've seen it said on television by those in the know that it's a dead deal, that it's over.
So from what I understand, that has to do, I think there's been Democrats who've tried to introduce legislation to make sure that can't happen in the future. And that legislation itself, where there's a law that says you can't put a weaponization fund together, I think that's what went down.
All right. So I've had a number of people get in touch with me telling me, well, but you have to understand there are people who were targeted by the last administration and they should be remunerated. And, I'm not diving any further into that. I can just tell you, it's never going to look good when you are handing somebody $1.8 billion, 1776,
right.
$1.8 billion to use any way they want without any restrictions, and to say, oh, and by the way, from now and going backwards and going forward, you and your family can never be investigated by the IRS, blah, 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 blah. None of that's ever going to go over well. Now, it didn't go over well when the president decided to put his name on the Kennedy Center. And that's coming off, and it probably should come off. It was named in honor of John F. Kennedy.
Congress has to approve
anything. Yeah, Congress would have to change that if they wanted to. But now there's, I guess, what is today, the 5th of June, June 12th deadline. We talked about this earlier. Anthropic warns AI could soon help build its own successors. My friends, if we let AI run amok, it will run all over us. Now, wait, let me ask the youngest member of the crew here, Abby. Abby Pelkey is sitting in and helping out for Danielle Mason today and Monday. Abby, I think I don't mean to, but I think you're the youngest of the three of us, at least. Yes,
that's a good guess.
All right, okay. So, is AI your friend? Is it you younger people who have embraced and understand AI way better than, let's just say, some of the rest of us?
So I was a film major, which means we generally kind of hate AI. Like, we don't like how it's getting into the creative services. But my brother, who's 3 years younger than me, is like going to school for AI. Like, he wants to develop AI. So it's a very divided house.
Huh. Yeah. Well, I'm going to say you're both right. You know, AI is this is a long time. AI is like that speeding train. It's coming right at you. You either jump on board or you get run over. I fear that's what is happening here.
Right.
I know I'm run over. It's over. I've been run over. But I know that your brother, Abby, and you are not going to get run over.
Yeah, no, I can definitely see where AI could be useful for a lot of different things. And, like, my brother wants to use AI to, like, advance medical technology. So AI can be useful, definitely. It's going to have it has its areas where it's not useful at all, and we just have to figure out how to keep it out of those areas.
Well, as a filmmaker, it's got to kill you to see that they have already designed movie stars. I mean, real. You look at them, you hear them, and you go, oh, that's a person. It isn't even a real person. And given business the way it is and money, if you can create all these things for next to nothing, why are you going to pay somebody $20 million to be in your film? That's the problem, job-wise.
Yeah. And, Paul, speaking of AI, I did ask AI if we should invest.
Should we invest in AI?
Yeah, and it gave me a long, convoluted answer. So stop me when you get bored or confused.
Stop. Oh, no, I'm sorry. So we asked AI if we should invest in AI. Go ahead.
And ChatGPT says, it depends on what you meant by, quote, invest in AI. If you're thinking about investing money, there are a few different approaches. Individual AI-focused companies. Some of the most prominent companies benefiting from AI includes NVIDIA, Microsoft, Alphabet, Google, Amazon, Meta. These companies are deeply involved in AI infrastructure, cloud computing, chips, and AI applications. And then it tells me all the different types of funds. And then it says, if you're comfortable sharing, tell me your age, how much you're considering investing, and whether this is for retirement or a shorter-term goal. They should have asked the questions first and then gave you all the gobbledygook.
Talk about, they want to know too much. Those busybodies at AI, they just want to know too much, and then they're going to put all that into the big computer in the sky and have that information on you forever.
And then make a fake AIU once it starts writing its own code.
Oh, boy, we're in trouble. All right. Thank you for doing that, Mike. We appreciate it. Marie Osborne coming up next. We're underway. Relentless Positive Radio. It's Focus with Paul W. Smith and the team. Today, it's Mike Parsons, Abby Pelkey, and Rich Luzinski, and you, the best and brightest audience in all of radio. Stay with us. You know, probate is bad. Probate is slow, probate is expensive, and probate is completely public. But the good news is you can avoid probate entirely with a revocable living trust. Look, I grew up too thinking trusts were just for rich people. No, trusts are for any of us who've worked our behinds off and have accomplished and accumulated a little something we'd like to leave behind safely to our family. And a revocable living trust keeps you in control of the who, the what, and the when. Who receives your assets, what assets they receive, and when they receive them. And when your assets are properly owned by or payable to the trust, you bypass probate and you protect your family from the delays and costs that come with it. At Estate Planning Legal Services, their attorneys walk you through every step. They'll help retitle your assets at no charge. And if you need any changes in the future, they are free for life for their clients. I met Jeff Sharp, the managing partner. What a sharp guy. No pun intended. With more than 25 years serving Metro Detroit families, they know how to make the process clear, affordable, and stress-free. Get the peace of mind you deserve. Contact Estate Planning Legal Services today for your free consultation. Learn how a revocable living trust can work for you. Call them at 248-435-0400, 248-435-0400, or go to EPLSPC.com. That's a mouthful, but it stands for Estate Planning Legal Services PC.com. That's EPLSPC.com, or call them at 248-435-0400. We continue in Focus on WJR. All righty. We continue here in Focus on this Friday, and glad that it is Friday, that's for sure. And we get to check in with Marie Osborne on a couple of things here. This is the breaking story from our WJR Director of Community Affairs and News. A man from Hawaii is facing serious federal charges after investigators say he targeted our capital and our governor, Gretchen Whitmer, with the violent threats. And WJR's Marie Osborne joins us with the latest details. Marie.
Hi, Paul. So according to federal prosecutors, 48-year-old Ronald Saville, a homeless man living in Honolulu, allegedly sent alarming messages to Michigan State Police and then directly to the governor, outlining plans to travel to Lansing and carry out a mass shooting. Authorities say he also contacted the FBI, expressing intent tied to political motivations, and described research into how he would carry out this attack. He emailed the Michigan State Police last month. He threatened the state capitol, saying he would, quote, walk in with a gun at AR-15 and open fire and kill as many people as possible. I mean what I say. I'm not a joke. Saville has prior history of involving threats against public officials with convictions dating back two decades. Law enforcement tracked him to Texas, where he was taken into custody earlier this week. He's already appeared in federal court. He's expected to be transferred to Hawaii to face charges. And you remember, Paul, that it was in October of 2020 that the FBI revealed a major domestic case involving a plot by people to kidnap Governor Whitmer, allegedly driven by anger over her pandemic policies.
Right. We do remember that. And boy, this is, this is good police work, period. This is very good police work to find someone. And everybody should understand, whether it's the guy that we've seen in the news screaming at ICE agents and saying, you know, people were upset they covered their face. This guy says, I see your face. I'm going to kill you, but I'm also going to kill your family. That guy should go away forever. And this guy should go away forever. And I don't want to hear excuses that he's crazy or anything else, mentally challenged. It doesn't matter. He's a danger. He has stated what he would like to do. And when somebody is stupid enough to have those kinds of plans and then they tell you about it, we should believe them, don't you think?
Yeah, I think absolutely. And that's, I mean, law enforcement clearly believing this and taking this very seriously.
You got to ask yourself why a man from Honolulu would care that much about what our governor in the great state of Michigan is doing. That's the...
Apparently he was originally from Michigan. So, and then how he got to Hawaii, I don't know. How he got to Texas, I don't know. But he's got quite a travel history.
I guess if you figure out how to climb into the wheel well of a jet, you can probably go anywhere.
Yeah.
But boom. Ah, boy. Did you see that jet the other day where it was just sitting there? And it's one of these, it's a Dreamliner, I think. It's a new jet, not that old. And the front landing gear just collapsed while it was sitting there ready for people to board. Did you see that?
Can you imagine? I would have, if I was stepping into that plane, I would have just grabbed my bag and turned around and said, you know what? I'll drive.
I fear that I wouldn't be flying again either.
Yeah, that was scary.
Bizarre. And then another one, because they run in threes at least, I think it was a United plane. The first one was Lufthansa, of all people. But United, where the guy is coming in so low, he hits a light pole on the expressway before he gets to the runway. And this is not a little guy in a little plane. This is a full-size, mm-hmm. beautiful full-size jet coming back from some foreign destination, and that could have been such a disaster.
Yeah, did you see that there was dash cam video? I can't remember. It was some kind of delivery driver.
A guy driving a truck?
Yeah. Yes, and he's and all of a sudden you see him just, and thank goodness nothing happened to him or anybody else on the roadway. But when you look at the shots, I mean, he was that close over the freeway.
Oh,
I mean,
that unbelievable. Yeah. And the guy, you're right, the dash cam video that's pointed toward the driver, I guess, also, which I usually think is pointed out the window, but he kind of like realizes, he senses this heavy airplane right overhead. He kind of looks up and bam! The light pole goes into his windshield. He goes to the hospital, but he's going to be okay. And thank God, everybody on that plane is okay. All right, America's 250th is coming up. And who better than Marie Osborne to be telling us all about it? You'll be starting to present the special reports, American 250, Michigan Made. When does this begin?
So it'll begin next week. We'll do them a couple times a month. And we've got all kinds of topics. And, you know, most of everything we're going to be proud of, the things that came from Michigan that made an impact on our country in one way or another.
Good for
you. Yeah, so that's what we're going to do next week, starting next week.
It's going to be on All Talk with Kevin Dietz. It's going to be on Focus with me and JR Afternoon with Ryan Ermani. And we're looking forward to it. Marie, keep up the good work. Another award-winning project from Marie Osborne.
Let's hope so, huh? We put a lot of time into this.
Absolutely. Yes. All right, I'm fine time-wise. All right, Marie Osborne, WJR's Director of Community Affairs and News, as we play a little catch-up on WJR.
And now, WJR is proud to present Rieger Reviews It.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
Featuring film critic Dave Rieger.
Suddenly, Dave has a great job.
Sponsored by Wigley's.
I think this is the beginning of a beautiful friendship.
Reviews It, an important part of the Paul W. Smith Focus Show every Friday. It is sponsored by Wigley's famous Eastern Market corned beef. Dine in or carry out the best Wigley's corned beef sandwiches around at the one and only Frank's Deli and Grill. I love that place. I go whenever I can, right there at 3405 Russell Street in Detroit's famous Eastern Market. I'll tell you, Frank's Deli and Grill is open every day from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. And while you're there, be sure to say hi to Victor, the owner, and his kids. They're all good people, and they love their customers as much as we love their corned beef. And you can tell they love the corned beef, too, because it is the best. Ladies and gentlemen, the one and only Dave Rieger. And thank you for your help yesterday out in the 85-degree heat as we broadcast from the 12th annual Cars and Cigars Big Smoke, passing over the $14 million mark in money raised with WJR, the Chalani Family Foundation, Tom and Vicky Chalani and their kids, and Dario Bergamo, and all the people that helped out, including the great audience that bid on a lot of nice projects and trips and other things for all that money for charity.
It's always a fun event to work with you on that, Paul. I kind of call it a mini St. Patrick's Day.
It really
is. Because what happens is everybody just comes and wants to talk. It doesn't matter what we have on the rundown. It just kind of goes out the window, and you do a very good job at navigating everything because we threw a lot at you.
A lot of people write to me today saying, what a nice job I did. Are you worn out? And the truth of the matter is, I am worn out.
Oh, yeah.
I try to get there by 3 if I'm going on the air at 4, and then I'm there through 10 o'clock at night. It's just harder. For me, it's harder in the heat. I love the sunshine. I love all that. But I like working. As anybody who remembers me in the studio, it was always cold, and for good reason. Sure. It just helped me. But Mr. Rieger, you did a great job. You can be an engineer, you can be a producer, and for us on Fridays, you are the famous movie reviewer. What movies are we looking at?
For the film this week, an interesting movie called Power Ballad, starring Paul Rudd. He plays a wedding singer, a former frontman of a band back in the day, now a wedding singer, kind of washed up, named Rick Power. I love the name of his band, too, The Bride and Groove. They do all weddings, and it's all covers. And so he still has this feeling in the back of his mind about his songwriting dreams. Well, anyway, he crosses paths with Danny Wilson, a former boy band star, now off on his own, played by Nick Jonas from the Jonas Brothers. And after a late night jam session, they find a song that they kind of co-write together. It's kind of a song that Rick had his whole life, but he never was able to finish. Well, let's fast forward 6 months later, and he's in the mall coming out of like a sporting goods store, and he hears his song playing in the mall. And what happened was Danny Wilson took the song, his song, released it, became famous again, made his comeback, but never gave either financially or intellectual property, anything, back to Rick. And so the rest of the movie is Rick trying to hunt him down because he wants his respect for the song. He wrote it. He wants his money.
Right.
Yeah.
All right. So. Well, let's listen to Power Ballad that's in theaters starting today.
Guess who's going to be at this wedding?
Danny Wilson, the childhood friend of the groom's.
Come on!
You guys sound great.
Rick, I want to show you something. I got to present my label with some new material.
We are here. We are drinking.
Let's write a boy band song right now.
Baby, your love just drives me crazy.
How to write a song without you.
Yeah, I like that.
Because every song I ever wrote in my life is about you.
So good.
The former boy band star back with his new single.
You don't recognize it?
Should I?
Great tune. Big hit.
I wrote it.
Are we going to be rich?
Don't call my office again.
He's stolen your song, but you've no recording of it, and no one, including your own bandmates, has ever heard it.
But you.
Wow. That's very heavy.
Yeah, they're calling it a comedy drama or a musical comedy drama. I thought it was pretty good at the beginning. I liked the setup and the story. Then it kind of went off the rails a little bit with him trying to find him and how he was going to go about trying to get his life back. So,
well, and it also could be, I mean, let's face it, that topic, if you will, is a very short topic.
Sure.
And they tried to drag it out into a full-length film, it sounds like.
Yeah, it was about an hour and 38 minutes, but I'll give it 2.5 wigglies.
Wigglies, even with the Nick Jonas, Paul Rudd, Havana Rose Liu, and Jack Rayner.
Yeah, I mean, listen, I love Paul Rudd. I mean, everything that he does is really good. So.
Yeah. 2.5 Wigglies for Power Ballad in theaters. Now let's listen to the show you can watch staying at home on Netflix. It's called Michael Jackson, The Verdict. Let's listen.
And this is Mr. Jackson's main area. Are there any secret rooms?
Police right now searching Michael Jackson's Neverland Ranch.
This is part of an ongoing investigation.
He's the most famous man in the world, being accused of the most heinous crime in the world.
An arrest warrant for Mr. Jackson has been issued on multiple counts of child molestation.
Michael Jackson's trial has finally begun.
I walked into what looked like a circus.
We believed he was a criminal, and he was able to get away with that because of his fame and celebrity.
Michael said, how do innocent people leave the courthouse? They let the whole world see them.
Wow.
So, obviously, on the coattails of the really, really popular Michael movie that just came out.
That did well.
Yes, did very well, and it was very good. But it only went up to a point. They never touched any of this stuff.
It ended before all of this stuff was alleged, as far as I recall.
Correct.
I haven't seen it, but that's what I heard.
This is a 3-part Netflix docuseries. Episode 1 is from 2003 about the Neverland Ranch. Episode 2 is about the trial beginning, and episode 3 is what happened with the trial and how we know how it ended and the tide turned. The thing about it was there were no cameras allowed in the courtroom back then. So they're doing it based off of, interviews and never heard, jurors and stuff like that. It's very well done. I'm fascinated with this, even though we know what happens, just like we knew what was happening in the Michael movie. It's still very nostalgic. I'll give it 3.5 Wigglies.
3.5 Wigglies. It starts tonight on Netflix. It's called Michael Jackson, The Verdict. As you mentioned, it includes interviews with jurors, eyewitnesses, journalists who cover the proceedings, and individuals connected to both the prosecution and defense, while incorporating archival footage to reconstruct the events of the trial and its aftermath. Rieger reviews it. Job well done, Dave. What are you doing this weekend?
Working.
Are you going to the casino at all?
I don't know if I'll be going to the casino. We'll have to see. You know, I don't have ABC right now on my cable because they're in a fight with
Direct TV. Another fight?
Yeah, so I can't watch. I have to go to Hulu or streaming to watch the NBA Finals and the NHL Stanley Cup Finals.
Okay.
So.
Well, good luck to you. You can always come over to my house. I'll buy the pizza.
I appreciate it.
I'll call you. Okay, I'll be around 144 at WJR. All righty. Again, happy anniversary to Bob and Sandy Riney. Bob of Henry Ford Health is the boss there and has done a great job in his entire career there and is doing a great job now. Tomorrow is Bob and Sandy Riney's wedding anniversary. And my friends also, John and Mary Federke from Toledo, celebrate their anniversary tomorrow. If it's your birthday or your anniversary, we wish it to you a great day. All through the weekend, we won't be able to be here to tell you that along the way, but we want you to know we feel that way. And to the team that makes it possible every day for us to do our jobs, Mike Parsons. We've had a lot of engineer help today throughout the week. Danielle Mason, Andres Hyde, and today, the one and only Abby Pelkey, who's done a tremendous job by herself. Rich Luzinski keeping track of the WJR traffic and weather first. Of course, Dave Rieger, who has produced, who has been engineer, and who did his regular great new job.
Dave has five jobs.
Yeah, Dave finally has five great jobs. So we thank Dave Rieger. Marie Osborne, who's always along with us and throughout the station as well. Ann Thomas, our fearless leader, and my Kim Smith, who helps me all the time in ways I can't even list, as you're on your way to making each and every day count. And we always remember that QTR that Kim tells us about, quality time remaining. And I want to thank you for being an important part of the best and brightest audience in all of radio, not just taking it from me, but from the Michigan Association of Broadcasters. They know what they're talking about. You know, you can always stream WJR, and you can come back to shows like mine when you can't be here from noon to 2 and podcast us. That's important. They keep track at WJR.com. Also get the free WJR app, and we're very thankful Facebook and YouTube pages stream our live video. And did you say that stays up for a while? I can't remember.
Yeah, I think it stays up forever.
That's a little frightening.
Yeah.
Well.
So nobody say anything stupid.
No, don't say anything stupid. That, you know, if you're here with somebody you shouldn't be with, then you better not be here with them. Or that's what I always used to say. I always used to say, too, to groups of friends who are with us when we're having a big group picture, I would say, all right, you'll look better if you lick your lips. Sir, your own lips. That was my joke all the time.
Well, yeah. It's good. If at different events, you got different audiences. So
that's right. Well, that's what I always said when I was the honorary grand marshal in the Thanksgiving Day parade with Mr. Art Van. You could tell a joke, and 30 seconds later, you could tell the same joke because you're moving.
Right.
And you have a different audience. And I've tried to explain that to everybody who's done it before. Quick programming note. Monday, we'll be at the Detroit Economic Club, thanks to the great Steve Gregorian inviting us once again. He does such a great job putting great shows together. That's Monday. Monday after that, I'll be heading up to Midland. Then Tuesday, we'll be in Midland for the Dow Classic. So those are the couple of things. Am I missing anything? Or those are a couple of things we've got coming up.
Yeah, I think that's pretty busy summer here.
Yeah, and I heard a promo, and I didn't get a chance to say anything. The inside-outside guys, they're a blessing on the weekend, as is all of our weekend programming, so be sure to take advantage of them. Did you hear this? Did you hear why the lettuce won the race?
You got your newsletter.
I got my Friday newsletter from Lynn Atzinger.
No, why did the lettuce win the race?
Lynn Atzingen. I thought it was Atzinger. Why did the lettuce win the race? Well, because it was always ahead.
We don't have the rim shot, so I'll give you a laugh.
I see. I know. Danielle took the rim shot with her. That's job security.
Yeah.
So we mentioned
it's part
is
of her contract.
We mentioned it's National Donut Day. Are you going to go out and have a donut?
I wasn't going to, but it's.
I think you might have to.
Yeah, it sounded pretty good. You know, 7-Eleven donuts stay fresh all day, so that might be a stop.
Well, I don't know if food staying fresh for a length of time is exactly. I mean,
right.
You know, there have been some like Hostess Twinkies. I'm just making this up as I say it, but things like Hostess Twinkies, they find them, you know, in a cave.
Yeah.
And they're 100 years old, and they're still fresh enough to eat.
Right. There's those pictures that go around of, like, a Happy Meal from 1985 that looks the same as it did back then.
I'm not so sure saying that your donuts stay fresh all day. I mean, remember, what are the Punchki?
Yeah.
Punchik, that's one. Punchki, several. Man, if you don't eat that thing early, it becomes like a rock.
Right.
Because they don't put all that other junk in there, just lard.
Right. Well, and then you know, with people who cut them up into pieces, then they become sharp like a rock,
yeah,
too, with little fragments. Yeah.
You know, Ryan Ermani does not impress me as the kind of guy who eats donuts or punchkis.
You know, I'm more of a bagel guy. I am not a donut guy, but I do like donuts from the cider mill in the fall.
Oh, the cider mill donuts, if they're warm, a little cinnamon on them, and a cold glass of cider, it doesn't get any better than that. I like a bagel, too, but I like it with a little cream cheese and salmon. How about you?
I like a lot of cream cheese.
All right. Well, I guess I said little just to be kind, but I always say extra cream cheese, and the salmon is so good for you. And what's also good for you is staying tuned to JR Afternoon with the one and only Ryan Ermani. I know you've got a great Friday show scheduled.
Including UAW endorsements, maybe a shocker when it comes to U.S. Senate.
Really? Now there's the tease that makes us all stay tuned. Stand by for news. Go on out, make it a great weekend. We'll see you at the Detroit Economic Club come Monday. Regards, Paul W. Smith.